Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do.
Tuned into Block Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Shepherd Zion, and your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways on this morning. Hallelujah. Once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. And I just want to take this opportunity, I want to take this podium, I want to take the stage, hallelujah, and just tip my hat off to all of you that continually, hallelujah, to make the Old Shepherd Zion a part of your listening archive and a part of your listening program. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. I just thank you. You just don't know what it means to my heart and soul to have dedicated people as yourself, hallelujah, to just patronize this church service, because this is a church service. It just happened to be digital, but this is a live church service. So I just want to welcome all you and you and you. I have the chat room available for your sitting and your listening pleasure, hallelujah. So I just want you to come aboard, chip in your dip and whatever you want to sip. Your latte, your OJ, and your digital devices such as your smartphone, your laptop, hallelujah, and your tablet. And just follow along with me as I give out the key scriptures and I'll give out the verses as well. And you can go back at your own leisure and you can read what we have read on this morning. Hallelujah. And so I want to also send out condolences to, hallelujah, just the families in the devastation, hallelujah, that has come down amongst the people of God, because every one of us is God people. Whether you don't know God or not, you all belong to God. So, you know, we just had that devastation of that life being lost. I think they say about 60 individuals, including children as well as adults and babies also. And we just want to pray for that situation, that God will bring about rest and peace, God. And so I just want to send up prayers for that area. I want to also send prayers out to those of you that have lost loved ones. May it be in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, 24 hours, 12 hours, 8 hours, 5 hours, 30 minutes, 60 seconds ago. We want you to know that in your hour of bereavement that you are not alone, that you have prayer warriors that's praying around the clock, around the world, for you and with you, that God will restore your joy and restoration unto your heart and soul. Hallelujah. So I just want you to be encouraged, because we are weeping with you in your hour of great loss. Hallelujah. All right. So I will be with you an hour and 30 minutes, and we're going to split this. We'll have one portion will be for our church service, and the other will be our second phase. We call it the Hymns of Zion, and we do that to just, you know, motivate you and uplift your heart and spirit. Those of you that are despondent and heavy laden on this morning, we just do that to encourage you. And so without any further ado, we're going to now go into our opening prayer. I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. All right, hallelujah. Father God, We come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. Father God, we thank you for allowing us, God, to congregate and to congregate and to fellowship with one another. That's what I want to say, and fellowship with one another around the globe. Hallelujah. So you don't have to put on your Sunday best. You don't have to get in your automobile, but you can just come right and get in front of your computer or your laptop, or even your phone, hallelujah. But I imagine you will have to, in order to engage in this program, you will have to have a computer or a tablet that will get this program, because this is digital. And I know a lot of times the tablet, it can't do what a computer can do. So you will more or less have to have a computer. But at any rate, we just thank you once again. And so we, like I said, we're going to continue in our opening prayer. And so we thank God for allowing us to commune here together on our four continents. Hallelujah. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for just, presenting this stage, God, that your word can go forth. And you said that before you return, you wanted your word to go out through the utmost of this world. You said wouldn't be one stone unturned. So God, we will continue in your will, in your way. We will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. And I want you to know that the spiritual deity that I'm talking about, I want to give you his identity. His identity, he's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Yet he was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. But he's not in a grave. He's not in a Roman grave. He's not in a, he's not in a cradle, or he's not in the inn. But God is sitting up in his heavenly dominions on the right-hand side of his Father. And so we will continue in your will, in your way, God, until you crack those clouds one historical day, God. Hallelujah. We know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination, but you said that your headline in waiting, a mansion that's not built by a mortal man, but you are the craftsman, you are the creator. So until you come in all of your glory, your omnipotent power, we will just keep on keeping on until you return. And I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. We'll be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, so now we're going to take you, without any further ado, on into a live program that's already in progression. And we live in a society where things are just happening so fast, so sporadic, and, we don't know what will come in the next moment. But we know that you told us to just stay prayerful. That is our weapon, prayer. Is our weapon. Once we pray and we continue to pray, because we know that praying is not just a one-time thing, but prayer is an ongoing thing in our spiritual lives. We need to pray daily throughout the day and at night before we go to sleep to pray, and therefore we will be covered. You covered those that you love, those that you know, those that you don't know. because your prayer will cover those, hallelujah, that God is intending for your prayers to cover. Hallelujah, because we know that prayer is a central part of the Christian life. Hallelujah. And so our sermon on this morning, entitled, Who's to Blame? I want to say that one more time. Our sermon on this morning, entitled, Who's to Blame? And like I first stated, you know, we look into today's world and we have tragedy on every hand, on every corner of the earth. There's unrest, there's war over here, there's shooting over there, there's fires over there, there's tsunamis over there, there's flooding over there, there's thunderstorms over there. So we know that everywhere you look is some unrest. But we know that God is not asleep. God is aware of everything that is taking place. We have to remind ourselves that God made us. We didn't make God. But God made us, and God made everything in the earth. Hallelujah. God said that the earth was his footstool. Hallelujah. So God owns us. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. A hefty price, a price that we cannot ever repay. But the only thing that we can do for God is to live a holy and acceptable life unto man and Christ. Hallelujah. And so we know that in this life that we will encounter various heartaches, pain, sorrow, death of a loved one. Hallelujah. And tragedy of a friend, a colleague, or someone that is near and dear into your heart. And so we know that it's inevitable. I mean, we will continue to go through, we will continue to encounter these things until Jesus returns. So we're going to read our first key scripture, and it reads this. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that scripture reading coming out of the law of Hebrews 12 and 11. All right, we're going to move on to our second key scripture, and it reads this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn of your statute. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 119 and 71. All right, we're going to read our third key scripture, and it reads like this. The things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Philippians 1 and 12. And our final key scripture reads this. Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners? That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 13 and 2. And so we know that affliction, when we accept it with patience and humility, it can lead you and I and us to a deeper, fuller life. And so we know that David wrote, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 119 and 67. And again, it is good for me that I might have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. We know that pain, far from being an obstacle to our spiritual growth, but it can actually be the pathway to it. If you and I and us, if we allow pain to train us, it can lead us closer to God and into his word. We know it is often the means by which our Father graciously shaped you and I and us to be like his son, then gradually giving you and I the courage, the compassion, the contentment, and the tranquility we long and pray for. Without pain, God would not accomplish all that he desires to do in and through us. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you on this morning, are you one who God is instructing through suffering and pain? If so, we know that by his grace, you can endure his instructions patiently. In the law of 2 Corinthians 12:9, he can make the trial a blessing and use it to draw you and I and us into his heart, into his word. He can also teach us the lessons he intends for you and I to learn. Give us his peace in the midst of difficulties. So whatever you're going through today, don't blame God. Just blame it on the sins that we encountered. The sins of Adam and Eve, disobedient, brought about sin. Hallelujah. So all we can do is just give God our life and let God use us as he feels deems necessary. The Bible tells us, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of James 1:2. God is making more out of you than you ever thought possible. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. You know, we all have went through some sort of trials and tribulations. You said, well, Overseer Ward, I haven't lost anyone. I still have all my family. I still, you know, have my mother and my father that's still living. My aunt and uncle are still living. My cousins are still living. All of them and my nieces and nephews, they're all intact. Well, I tell you what, I tip my hat off to you because, hallelujah, God has just sustained you and he's keeping you. And so we know that we just got to keep living because each and every one of us will encounter a trial of some sort. Because this life of sin brings about pain and discomfort in our lives. It doesn't feel good to hurt in pain, aching pain of a sickness, of a disease, unknown disease, a disease that is known that's terminal. Hallelujah. It don't feel good to someone to tell you that you have an incurable disease. But we know that God, on the other hand, is our great physician. God said, I healeth all manner of sickness and diseases. So you don't have to believe the report of your physician. You can believe the report of God because God is the great physician. And he said, by my Jesus, 39 stripes, you and I are healed. So you know what your physician has told you, but you do not have to believe that. You can say, yeah, I hear you, doctor. I understand what you're saying. But see, you said, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Because, see, you know that besides that physician is another physician. And he just happened to be our Lord and our Savior. He happened to be the one that created you and I. And he said that he created us in his own image. Isn't that awesome how God created you and I own image? Hallelujah. So we know that the Bible said that we were born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. So if anybody is to blame, don't blame God. Blame sin. Because had not sin entered into the world, we've been a saved nation. A saved nation unto God. But because sin entered into the world, you and I and us suffers. Our children suffers. Our parents suffers. Each and every one of us suffers. And if you haven't suffered Just thank God and keep living, because we know that suffering will soon knock on your door. And so we know that it is believed that David, he wrote Psalm 57. And we're told why he was fleeing from King Saul, who had hatred in his heart for the former shepherd boy. And then David ducked into a cave and barely escaped his pursuer. He was safe temporarily, but the threat was still there. And you know, you and I, we've all been there. Maybe not in a cave, but pursued by something that strikes fear into our hearts. Perhaps it was deep sorrow that followed you and I, the death of a loved one that we loved. Maybe it's fear of unknown future, or it could be an oppressive physical illness that won't go away. We know that in such circumstances that God does not always remove the difficulties, but his presence helps us. We wish that he would just swoop in and whisk us to safety, just as David. But we know that when we please God, it don't stop the hurt and the harm and the danger that we encounter. But we know that if we continue to pray and stay prayerful, that God will send out his angelic angels to be a protection as we go to and for in our daily itineraries. When you get on the plane, pray that God will carry you and the passengers safely to your destination. And then when you get back, ready to return back home, then you pray again and ask God to bring you safely home. And when you do that, then you're covering yourself as well as those that are in your circle there. So we know that if we continue to pray, you know, then God will continue to watch over us. Not saying that, you know, we won't encounter danger, harm, even, you know, death. But we just know that we have to stay prayerful and stay in the word of God. Hallelujah. Because like I said, prayer is key element to our Christian walk with God. Hallelujah. We know that David may have wished for a quick end to Saul's pursuit. We plead with God to stop the pain and make the road to tomorrow smooth and straight. We beg him to eliminate our struggle, but the difficulties remain. Hallelujah. It is then that we have to take refuge in God as David did. While hiding in that cave, he said, "In the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities has passed by." And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalms 57 and 1. I want to ask you another question on this evening. Are you in the middle of trouble? If so, I want to encourage you to take refuge in the Most High God. See, Christus, you and I and us, when your way seems the darkest, when your eyes with tears are dim, straight to God your Father, hasten. Tell your troubles all to him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name, God. We thank you this evening, Jesus. Hallelujah, for just making this stage available that your people will be able to hear the word of God to those that are delivering the divine word of truth to his people. We just thank you, God, because you didn't have to do it, but you're such a gracious God that you made a way for your word to go forth throughout the earth. And we thank you, God. And so you said that it is good for me that I have been afflicted. that I may learn of your statutes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you because you're worthy, God. You are worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. We thank you, God. We thank you for everything, God, that you have done in our lives. And we don't take you for granted, as I have already for state, but we know that you're real, God. We know that you are spirit, and you said in your word that those who worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that sometime in this life, battles, you and I and us, we can feel as if we're all losing on every front. Families discarded, businesses, setbacks, financial woes, or declining health. It put a pessimistic spin on the way we look at life. But the believer in Christ can always find a way to conclude situation. Excellent. We can look at Paul when he was thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. He had an unusual upbeat attitude to the church at Philippians. He wrote, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." And that scripture reading is coming out of Philippians 1 and 12. Paul saw that his prison situation as a new platform from which to evangelize the Roman palace guards. In addition, other Christians became embodied by his situation to preach the gospel more fearlessly. And God can use our trials to work good in the spite of the pain. So don't look at your situation as pain and agony that you're going through, as something, you know, that is a bad thing. But it's a good thing, because it is for God's glory and his purpose and his honor. Everything that God allows is not by coincidental or coincident, but it's divine. It, from the divine appointment of God. God is seeking to get that person that he couldn't get before. Sometimes God has to use extreme measures to get our attention. Sad to say, but sometimes he has to put tragedies in our lives to get our attention, but to get his ultimate glory. So everything that God allows is for his glory and for his honor, not to hurt us. It's not to punish you and I and us, but it's for God's glory and honor, and to use us as a worker in his vineyard. You know, that was the only reason for God to go to Calvary Cross. He didn't go to Calvary Cross just for us to be able to marry and give in marriage, to have children, to have homes and cars and money in the bank, to have your portfolio. But God's ultimate purpose was for us to serve him, that we wouldn't have to go to the lake of fire and brimstone, but we could choose life rather than to choose death. And I'm not saying that if you don't choose God, that you're choosing death. You are choosing death, but it is not a death to where you will be asleep and you won't feel anything. But if you don't choose the way of God and you choose the way of eternal darkness, then you have chosen to serve Satan, our adversary, Lucifer. And the Bible says that its end result is death. But you will not die. You will just die eternal death of fire and brimstone, which you will be alive. So you will feel this fire and brimstone upon you. You will feel that. And the word of God says everlasting. So it's not, the firemen will not be able to come and distinguish out this fire. They will not be allowed anywhere near the fire and brimstone pit, because that's what the Bible calls it. Say it is a fire and brimstone. It is a pit. That's what it is. And so God's ultimate reason for going to Calvary Cross, because God didn't have to go to Calvary Cross because he wasn't a sinner. God did not sin. The Bible says God knew no sin, neither was a guile found in his mouth. So God was always holy. But it was the mess up of the first Adam, disobedient, when God had told them what he wanted them to do. And they did as they chose to do. And that brought about sin in the world. Suffering. See, if Adam and Eve had been obedient to God, we wouldn't have knew what sickness was. We wouldn't have knew what death was. We wouldn't have knew what, you know, all of that vulgar languages that people use nowadays. We wouldn't have known anything about that, because our mind would have known was goodness and cleanliness and godliness. That's all we would have known. But because of sin, then God had to go and make the restitution. Just like you get in trouble and the police stop you and say, well, hey, you know, you got tickets, or you got, you got a ticket, or maybe you have a warrant or whatever, and so we're going to have to carry you to jail. Somebody got to come down there and pay your bail. Well, that's the same thing Jesus did. Only Jesus didn't pay our bail. God paid the redemption of our sins with his blood. And the Bible says that Jesus died like no one else in mankind history. So Jesus did all of that for us to serve him. He wanted us to have a good life down here on earth, you know, but to serve him in that good life. Because everything that we have is because of God. You say, well, Overseer Ward, I went to the university, I went to school, you know, I'm a self-made millionaire, I put myself through school. Okay. Well, let me drop this on you. Now, just suppose that God breathed from your body. You wouldn't even be able to move around, because you would be non-existent. If God wouldn't have given you the strength to go to school and get you a degree, to obtain that good job, or to go in business for yourself, you couldn't have done that. You couldn't have made the means or have made a profit to make money to be able to be self-sufficient. So you say, I'm self-made millionaire. That's wrong. That's wrong, because you're not self-made. God made you. The Bible says God made you in his own image. So God made you, number one. You're not self-made. You're not a self-made millionaire, because God said all wealth come from God. God is the one that obtained man, to cause man to have wealth. So you didn't, you know, you didn't have wealth. You didn't, wasn't born with a spoon in your mouth, because God said we all come in here in sin and shaped in iniquity. So we didn't have anything. We didn't have money. We didn't even have a t-shirt or a diaper, a pamper, or whatever you want to call it, a bird's eye diaper. We didn't have nothing. And so those of us that was fortunate to be born in a hospital wing, nursery corner, nursery wing of the hospital, maybe some of you was born by midwives. Some of you didn't have anybody, you know. You just was your mom and whoever was there to help to bring you into the world. But however you got into the world, you're here. So you, no one can say that they're self-made. You didn't self-made anything. God is the cause of you to have wealth. So we, you know, we have to tell it like God says, tell it. If we're going to tell it like God said, tell it. Otherwise, we're liars. And the Bible says that the truth is not in us. So I'm just putting it out there like God told me to tell it. All right, I'm going to keep on moving, because I know that time is closing in on us. And so I want to bring you some hymns of Zion. And so I'm going to try to, you know, speed it up a little bit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so we're talking about who's to blame. And so I want to ask you, we know that we all pretty much, and those of you that hadn't encountered any tragedies of a sort, any setbacks, any sickness in your life, count it all joy. You ought to lift your hands right where you're standing, where you're bending, you're kneeling, you're lying, and just lift your hands toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've sustained my family, because so many one has lost loved ones, including myself. I've lost numerous of loved ones in my family circle. But because of God, his strength, he keeps me moving. He keeps me motivated to keep pushing for his glory and his honor. That's the only reason that I'm here. You know, I could be in a club. I could be anywhere I want to be. I don't have to be here ministering the word of God as I do. But because I love God, and I know God first loved me. So because God loved me first, the only way I can repay him, I can't pay him any money, but I can pay him with my life. I can pay him by being obedient to his call to ministry. I can pay him by ministering his word as he is implemented in the 66 books, starting from Genesis as its conclusion, Revelation. So do you suppose that these Galileans were worse of sinners? You know, there's no good sinner, bad sinner, the baddest sinner. The Bible says we all are sinners. So there's no big sinner, little sinner, no big eye, little me. But we all have sinned, the Bible says. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory and honor of God. So if we want to blame anybody for what's happening in the world, blame it on sin. Sin is the accuser. No one else but sin. And God so graciously give us a choice. Because see, if God hadn't given us a choice, then we would be squabbling about. God could have gave us a choice, you know, to let us do our own choosing on what we want to do, which way we want to go, you know. So God did that. And we didn't even follow suit. We didn't even follow God's leading and his rules that he set out. God told us to go left. We chose to go right. God told us to go right. We chose to go left. Disobedient heathens, that's what we were. So Jesus had to go and pay the ultimate price. Crown of thorns placed upon his head. Spear pierced in his side. 39 stripes upon his back. Nails in his left and his right hand. Left and his right foot was placed one upon the other. Then a spike drove from the top layer down to the last layer of flesh on Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that he dropped his head and he announced that it is finished. So that's the only thing that I can do for Jesus is to mimic his word. What God said is to mimic what he said from Genesis to Revelation. And the Bible says, do not add one jot to his word and don't subtract anything. We are to tell God's word as he had commanded us to do. So, in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old Triple Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old Triple Zion. Hallelujah. So send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. You can also log on to our web address, www.JaniceWardMinistries.org. That's www.JaniceWardMinistries.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. Hallelujah. So right now, till we meet again, across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your wheel because he is people friendly. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. If you have any prayer petitions, now is the time. You can call in with your prayer petition. If you have any miracle that you would like to share with the world, you're encouraged to call in at the number on your bulletin. And just for your FYI, all calls are monitored. So until we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Bye for now.
Thank you. good to me, good to me. I want to hear you just a little louder, please. Oh, clap your hands. Now stop singing and jump up and clap them.
I am the
We're going to go back and do it one more time.